For centuries, man has been on top of the food chain. Until now.
They're here! They're coming! God, no!
So you guys understand that we're dealing with a highly intelligent beast.
What is it about those little furry bodies that's so frightening?
Science has agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth would be extinct within a year. Nature, mad, rampant.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes!
The next victim could be you.
Welcome to the food chain, where nature runs amok, animals attack, and meat is back on the menu. Man meat, that is. Well, not like that. That probably came out wrong. I don't know. I guess animals eat dicks, don't they? I mean, they're not really attaching any kind of sexual connotation to that. It's just food, right? I mean, if you saw a bear with a human penis in its mouth, you wouldn't think, oh, that's sexy. You would think, oh, I need to get the fuck out of here. Then again, if you saw a human with a bear penis in their mouth, you'd probably call somebody. But I don't know who. What, a cop? A park ranger? The sexy zoo? I don't know. Well, I'm Cootie, and joining me, as always, is my lovely assistant, X.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Are we even doing a bear movie this episode?
Shit, that's a good question. So let's find out which animal we're going to be featuring tonight by using the dartboard of decision. I've written the names of some creepy critters on the backs of old greeting cards and duct taped them to this picture of Jack Hanna. Here you go, X. Throw the dart and let the fates decide.
It's not really fate.
I said let the fates decide.
I mean, I can see them from here. I mean, I could probably hit whichever animal I wanted to if I aimed good enough. I mean,
it's fate.
It's sort of fate.
Just throw the fucking dart.
All right, what did I hit?
It looks like tonight's animal is the wild boar.
Since mid-July, the boars have been spotted several times near Caledon East, and they are not native to the area. Naturalist Bob Bowles says they appear to be European razorback boars, a very dangerous animal.
They are aggressive. They're dangerous. They've got those tusks, the gore. They kill small prey, and they would think nothing of attacking a human. They will do tremendous damage. Nothing like a goat or a pig to destroy the environment. I really shudder when I think of the damage they could cause.
Excellent! Now to find out why our wild boar is turning against nature, it's time to spin the Wheel of Mutation. Give that thing a whirl, Cootie. And today's cause of mutation is Australia!
Tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down, sport. Tiny kangaroo down.
That's right. The scariest fucking place in the world, where literally everything can kill you, has gotten even tuskier in the 1984 movie Razorback.
We got a great special animal consultant on this episode. He's the co-host of the brand new Obsessive Cinema Discourse podcast and the creator of one of my favorite podcasts out there, The Witch Versus the Doomsday Clock, which is one of the shows I try to listen to practically as soon as it comes out. But he is the man known solely as The Witch. Welcome to the food chain, my friend.
Thank you, sir. It is a genuine pleasure to be here. I am firmly ensconced in my anti-animal bunker and prepared to allude to what it's like to live in this country where everything does want to kill you.
Excellent. Yeah, we're going to be relying on you for that. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, right. All right, guys, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll break down this episode's movie, Razorback.
In a world gone mad.
As you know, the Doomsday Clock is a symbolic clock face analogizing humankind's proximity to extinction.
One man must fight to survive on the global junkie of the future.
You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Which versus the Doomsday Clock is that man's story? His search for entertainment is transmitted across time and space for your listening pleasure on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and your Android device.
This podcast is not fit for human consumption. Side effects include laughter, concern, nausea, vomiting, and burning for more purposes. The producers accept no responsibility for any side effects, illness, or internet range of mine cause. My bank guarantee is worth nothing. Zero, zero, zilch, nada, overall, not a sausage. In short, you get nothing. Nothing. Good day, sir.
Somewhere in the Australian outback, he's waiting.
Something big scared him away.
Like what?
I don't know. But it was huge. As big as a rhino.
Jake Cullen, the obsessed hunter, determined to stop
it. Got to come to the waterhole to drink.
Jake, get some help, Andy.
No, he's mine.
You're a Pathfinder.
Animal campaigner? And dumped at the Pet Pack Cannery 8 miles west of here.
The American animal campaigner who got more than the story she bargained for.
Don't rub her up!
She wasn't very popular around here.
What'd you do to my wife, Benny?
And the crazed brothers who protected their own secrets at all costs.
You ask too many bloody questions, you know that?
Do you know what happened to her? Razorbacks.
Carl Winters searching for the answers.
Godless vermin. He's only got two states of being. Dangerous or dead.
That boar destroyed his life.
Now, listen, Bill, you're in the middle of bugger all here, so for Christ's sake, don't go walkabout. We'll never find you. Now, we'll be back in 5 or 6 hours.
Gregory Harrison, in his first major motion picture, running for his life.
If you're gonna do it, just bloody do it.
Hello?
Come on, man! Shoot me! You finished the kangaroo off! Shoot me!
Produced by Hal McElroy from Australia's hottest new director, Russell Mulcahy. Razorback.
He's only got two states to be.
Dangerous or dead. Razorback.
Welcome back to the Food Chain, and you just heard the trailer for this episode's piece of critter cinema, Razorback. Now, you'll probably notice by the sound of his gorgeous, velvety voice, the witch is not from around here. He is Australian, and I don't want to harp on that, because he's not some kind of goddamn sideshow freak just because he lives on another continent. We have a movie to discuss, and the witch is a very insightful and intelligent guy, and we're glad to have him on the show. But I hope that you understand, witch, that if we do ask you some strictly film-related questions about Australia, just to help flesh out the conversation. I mean, you know, obviously, we're American. We don't know Australian culture well, although I am a really big fan of the Elegant Gentleman's Guide to Knife Fighting. But it is our hope that we can use your knowledge to help us better understand this film and not just exploit you for your gorgeous accent.
Look, I'm glad to be here, and for the record, I'm a sideshow freak for a whole different set of reasons, not just for where I live. but absolutely, you know, I can stand proud, shoulder to shoulder with my fellow Australians and say, yes, Razorback is one of our proudest exports, and I'm excited that you want to know more about it.
That's cool. So tell us, How many shrimps can Crocodile Dundee put on the Barbie?
Jesus, you are a terrible person, X.
I'm fucking with him. I'm fucking with you. I'm fucking
I know you are. And for the record, depending on how fucking drunk we are, it's either a bucket load or just six.
That's legit.
That's a fair answer.
You just sort of, you stick your head in the bucket and just go blah, 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 and then drop on the Barbie, or you do the delicate thing. We're not animals.
Okay. Now we're talking for. Okay, we're starting. Really, we're doing Razorback now. Okay, yeah, and
for real Razorback.
God, can't talk. Okay, I haven't had that much rum yet. That's coming. So this movie starts with an old dude. His name's Jake, and he's babysitting his grandson at his house somewhere in the Australian outback, and everything's cool. Until this big fucking razorback boar breaks through the side of the house, runs through the house, like through every wall. So there's gas, there's flames everywhere, and the razorback grabs the baby and runs off into the outback with it, and I guess eats it. It certainly didn't raise it as its own.
Although I would pay good money to see that movie.
I was just thinking that would make an awesome like sequel to this one. Just like come back around, the razorback didn't really die in the pet pack factory, and it has raised the grandson as a razorback.
Son of razorback.
I like to think that child actually grew up to be the feral boy in Mad Max 2.
Oh, nice. Just the razorback taught him how to sharpen a boomerang.
That's right. How to live in a hole and everything else. It's all there. It fits.
I love it. I'm going to believe that that's true.
Yeah, see? Then it's a happy ending.
It is.
Everyone wins.
So they put the old man on trial, and this courtroom scene is probably the best courtroom scene that I've viewed since maybe Cannibal the Musical.
It's weird.
It's a little uncomfortable because it's almost like a lynching, but a little bit more relaxed. It's just sort of like, we just turned up, we know that he's fucked, but yeah, by all means, go ahead and can we all have a beer later?
Yeah, we're just gonna sit here and watch and eat popcorn and heckle the bastard.
Yeah,
but he gets off. He's acquitted because they can't prove it didn't happen. You know, so. Anyway, he says it's the boar. Nobody believes him, but he gets off scot-free, and now he's just like this kind of weird hermit dude just living out in the outback, and he's...
They're all fucking hermits. You realize they all... Is that how that works?
Anyway, he's bound and determined to kill this fucking boar one of these days. He really is. So we jump forward, 2 years? And... Yeah. This woman.
I just want to say, though, I want to say just for a moment that the first 10 minutes of this movie, you know, it starts out really crazy. It's this really intense scene where the baby gets killed by some giant monster, and you don't really see it in that opening sequence. So the only reason you know it's a razorback is because it's the name of the fucking movie, right? You already know that that's what this is about. But
it could be about back shaving.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It could be. It could be about a really big Cenobite that's got razors actually in its back.
That would have been awesome. But, I think every fucking movie that I see that takes place in Australia, just I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just, it's like this post-apocalyptic world. I just automatically think of, you know, fucking Mad Max. It's like, okay, that's just Australia. It's just all, like,
it's all just a barren fucking wasteland. So this movie was shot in a place called Silverton, which is just outside of Swan Hill. Not Swan Hill? No, Broken Hill, which is a mining town. And the pub there, that's actually what it fucking looks like. It is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. We all live around the edge. The middle can fuck off because it's hot and dirty and there's like really nasty shit out there that wants to kill you. So we all just live around the edges. And if you go in the middle, good luck to you.
Oh, that's kind of like us in Memphis.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Sorry, Chuck Knight.
Anyway. Okay, so there's this American wildlife reporter, and of course she's just shocked to hear about how the kangaroos are being slaughtered in Australia, and she goes off to Australia, leaving her husband behind, and she's going to investigate kangaroos being turned into pet food. So she... Yeah,
before we go any further, I actually need to apologize for Judy Morris, because that is the single worst American accent I have ever heard.
There's a lot of things about Judy Morris that we can't stand.
The haircut, for one.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, she looks like a poodle.
Yes.
Women with curly hair do not get your hair cut that way. We know this. It's just such a bad idea.
It looks like you've got a lampshade on your head.
Yeah.
It does.
If she weren't an actress, she would be part of a car wash.
At the car wash, yeah.
So while she's in Australia, she follows these skeevy guys. And I love the fact that these guys are named Benny and Dicko.
Yes.
Dicko. Now, what the hell kind of name is that?
Are these like common...
Weird O onto everything, right? Dicko, Bottle-O, Ambo, Servo. we shorten everything by adding an O on the end. It just makes it so much simpler.
All right, then.
So she gets this footage, and of course they come out and threaten her in a very Australian way. But she gets into her car, and, you know, she, like, waves as she leaves, like, I've got you now, ha ha ha, you sons of bitches. Now, here's the first thing I want to bring up about this movie that makes me love it. While she's driving the car, the song that's playing on the radio is Duran Duran's New Moon on Monday.
Yes.
The guy who directed the movie, Russell Mulcahy, also directed the video for New Moon on Monday. Mm-hmm. And he also directed the video for Ice House's first single, Ice House. And Iva Davies, the leader of Ice House, did the soundtrack for this movie.
Yes, he did. And when they're in the house, talking to each other, and she transitions from the kitchen to the lounge room, Ice House's Hey Little Girl is playing on the TV on the floor.
I did not notice that. Holy shit. Wow, this has got really, like, early MTV incestuous.
Yes. Right? That's a crazy roundabout right there.
I mean, it's like, it's maybe 2 seconds worth, and I watched it, I rolled it back, I watched it again, and I said to my wife, check it out, and she went, ah, Hey Little Girl, just straight away.
That's great.
That's great. Where are we at? Okay. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you, have you ever driven like out in the country and had such good radio reception? Ever?
No.
No.
Because I'm on there going, wow, that's fucking awesome reception. I mean, I've driven through that part of the country. You can't get anything but static and talkback.
Well, it depends on where you're at, because here in Knoxville, we actually have a radio station that plays classic rock, and they've got the most powerful fucking signal. Like, we can drive almost all the way to X's parents' house in Somerset, Kentucky, which is like, what, honey, a two-hour drive from here?
About three and a half hours out.
And we can pick it up almost all the way, like, through the mountains and everything. But you go, you know, the same distance south of here, and there is shit for miles and miles on 75 South.
It is basketball and Jesus. That is it.
Yeah. And, yeah, the two off quite often together at the same time.
True.
My God. What if they're just, like, broadcasting, like, basketball games from Baptist churches? What about that, Cody? Like, just upward league basketball? That'd be crazy.
The church I went to had a basketball court inside. It would not surprise me.
Oh, man. That's insane.
That'd be very white basketball, though, right?
Oh, extremely.
Very white, yeah.
Oh.
Yes, very white Christian basketball, so I'm not even sure how that would work. You know, I guess, but their uniforms have ties.
Mm. I'm about to make a 3-pointer. Please pray for me.
Yeah, right. That's a foul on Jackson. He's been sent off to the prayer room. All right, so they catch Poodle Girl. Benny and Dicko catch Poodle Girl, and they run her car off the road, and they're about to rape her in the weirdest way possible, because I guess it's Dicko. Dicko's all like,
it's Dicko.
Yeah, would you like to make love?
See, now, I went, really? Like, that's not the politest rapist ever.
Right.
Did you want me to take my shoes off? It's just like, what?
It's like a glass of Chablis. I mean...
I don't know. I don't know if that's polite or if that's just extra cruel. Like, he gives her the option, and then knowing full and fucking well he's going to do it anyway. It's just like...
It would have been funny if she'd have said no, and they'd have been like, all right, and just, you know, fucked off.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gone. Fair enough. I understand.
Right, can't blame a guy for trying.
That's right.
Also, I do want to mention about... old man Jake, who will come back into the story later. Professional kangaroo shooter is not a job here in the States. We don't have that.
You don't have that many kangaroos.
Yeah, I should say. We don't have kangaroos just, running about either.
But just the fact that that's how he describes his job. I'm a professional kangaroo shooter. Oh, yeah. All right.
So we actually do have people whose job it is to cull kangaroos. Because they grow into absolute fucking plague levels at certain times of the year and in certain areas. So while they're not professional roo shooters, they are, I think they're animal control, specifically around kangaroo population numbers.
That's fascinating. I didn't realize that they... So they're kind of like, you know, like weasels in the garden. Or rabbits. Just really... gigantic fucking weasels.
Yeah. So if a weasel is likely to like stove your chest in by kicking you, that's what they're like. Sure.
Okay. So the rapists go away, and she thinks she's fine, and she's trying to get that awesome radio to work again. When the Razorback shows up. Crushes the side of the car, drags her out, and eats her.
Mm. But first he rips off the door.
Well, he's like, got those tusks. He can do that.
Just hooks it in, and I went, wow, it's like watching someone open a can. It was just like, whoop, straight out.
It's like nature's jaws of life right there, man.
In reverse.
And what's funny is she's strangely unaffected by this turn of events. She really just kind of backs up against the other side of the car, and it's just like, huh, I wonder what's going to happen now.
Yeah, it's just like all teeth and tusks coming at me, right. But yeah, I'm not going to scream.
Yeah, I've survived.
You know what?
Try and hide in the corner.
I just shook my head through this entire sequence, because it's like, okay, your dumbass took out your phone into the fucking Australian outback to investigate this shady... animal food, like pet food plant in the first place, alone, don't have a fucking gun, don't have a fucking cell phone, or even a goddamn CB radio, and you're surprised that shit went south? Like, Ray Charles could have seen that coming.
Well, there were no cell phones in 1984.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, she didn't have a communication device, she didn't have a cell phone, didn't exist, didn't have a radio, didn't have anything. Mm.
I mean, she got to Pet Pack. If I'd seen that Mad Max looking fucking truck, I would have gone, no, I'm out.
Yeah. Right?
Clearly, this is not a place I belong.
Also, are Betty and Dicko the only people working in that entire fucking pet food factory?
No, there's another dude there, like the weird, like, fucking gas mask looking bloke that you just sort of see stroll through at one stage and... But I can't remember what it was. His name was like Bennett or something else like that. Like Dicko goes
Wallace
at one stage. But, yes,
I don't even remember.
It was Wallace, I remember now.
Yes, what? But yeah, you only ever see what the gas mask and everything on, and that's it. So I just sort of put that down to have a zombie working in the factory. just let it go.
See, I was thinking this was like the same pet food company from 100 Bloody Acres.
Oh,
am I wrong? Because
no, you know what? Now I think about it, you're goddamn close. You're very close. And oh, see now I have to go back. I have to go back.
See? Uh-huh. I think we got some similarities here. Anyway, Beth's husband. Oh, this fucking guy. Gregory Harrison, who was a famous American TV star in the 70s and 80s. He was on Trapper John, MD. Very cute. He's got the body wave going, you know. Of course, when you're compared to Benny and Dicko, who look like they just got kicked out of Hunters and Collectors, anybody's cute. So.
Oh, yeah. No, they didn't even get out of Hunters and Collectors. They got out of a sewer. I got to know. They are some filthy, dirty-looking scabs. They both come from TV. Like, they've done years worth of TV, and they're actually pretty good. Like, Dicko's a comedian, of all things.
That's just not surprised me.
I looked at him and went, you're just filthy.
Yeah. Just, ew, filthy.
Yeah, it's like, Dicko... What's his name? David Argue, is that correct?
David Argue, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he could have won like a Rick Mayall look-alike contest, circa the young ones. So, I'm kind of impressed by him.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to Carl, who's a. I can't stand this guy.
Why is he on the bus? Why is he? I mean. He's been told his wife's been killed, so I'll just get the bus that goes up once a week. What's up with that?
And while I'm on the bus, I have to shave.
Yes,
I'm in the outback, but I'm really concerned about if I have some stubble on my face. What the fuck?
Just such a knob.
Such a knob.
Anyway, so he gets to the pub. The owner lets him borrow his car, which is that's very cool of the guy. That's fine.
Yeah.
He ends up going up to Jake's kind of trailer thing. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, it's like half trailer, half tent, half lean-to. I don't know what the fuck it is.
That's very interesting.
I think it was a combi van with the guts ripped out of it, and just
right.
So I looked at that, and went, yeah, okay, I can dig it. You know, you want to be by yourself. He would freeze his ass off out there. Like, he would actually, like, fucking die.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But it's got,
it's
like...
fucking cold out in the desert at night.
But it's got, like, 8 dingoes to keep him warm.
That's true. He did have a lot of fucking dogs.
He did have a lot of dogs. Only one of them, like, really identified as a pig dog to me, but that's a whole different story.
A pig dog?
Yes!
That's a thing?
Well, so your Rottweiler, your big solid dog that you would use for hunting large animals, affectionately known as a pig dog.
Oh.
Wow, I just thought that was an insult.
Well, it can be, but you know, invariably you need like a large, fairly heavy set dog with a good set of teeth and that's relatively smart to hunt pigs. Ruse, not so much because, you know, Ruse are sort of fairly scared of dogs on average, although they have been known to, like, just fucking kill them in defense. But pig dogs are, like, big, solid animals. They are full-on fucking killing machines.
Wow. That's fascinating. Thank you. See, and this is the kind of stuff that I knew you would bring to this particular episode. Very pleased about that.
I do it with pride. It helps, you know, reinforce the stereotype that we're all savages.
Whatever I can do to help, man. I mean...
Honey, we're from the southern United States. We got our own stereotypes.
Yeah, okay. No kidding.
See, and that's what... I actually had a note that said, like, Benny and Dicko have got to be the Australian equivalent of like, down south rednecks. Like, just inbred, weirdo motherfuckers that...
Backwoods,
Yeah, backwoods, eating you young, you name it. Yeah.
Yep.
Just ride on it.
Just change the accent and you've pretty much got it.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm glad that I was on the right pace.
Hey! Hey, man! Wakey, wakey! Hands off, snakey! See? And now you've got it. Now...
Yeah. Living in a hole in the ground.
Yep. Oh, we are the same. Anyway, Carl goes to see Jake, who lives in literally a dried out combi, and Jake's like, oh, it was a Razorback. Razorback probably ate your wife. Razorback killed my grandbaby, so you're going to want to go see these two assholes up at the pet food company and see what they know about everything. So Jake's, Carl, Beth's husband, is like, that's a great idea. I'm going to go do that.
His name should have been Skip. Carl doesn't quite fit him. He should have just been Skip.
Yeah, hang on. So if he's called Skip, that would have, like, he would have been dead. Someone would have shot if he was called Skip, because that's what we call, like, pretty much every kangaroo. Every kangaroo is called Skip.
Really?
Really?
Well, so you obviously didn't get it. So when I was growing up, as a lad, we had Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, which was a kids' TV show about a bush ranger, if you will, or a forest ranger that lived out in the bush, and his son, Sonny, had a kangaroo called Skippy. And in the same way that, you know, you guys had Lassie, you know, oh, what's up, Lassie? Is Benny down the well? Like, Skippy, come up and go, what's that, Skip? Oh, he's broken his leg. Holy fuck.
That's great.
So, yeah, they're calling Carl Skip, he would have been fucking dead.
That'd have been bad. Huh?
That would have been not good.
Yeah, but see, he's American, so, you know, that'd have been even funnier.
Yeah, well, it looked like, you know, Benny and Dicko really didn't need an excuse to take the piss out of a septic. Let's be honest, they left him high and dry in. I don't even know where that spooky woods was, because that's not Australia. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Because it looks like the same. Cootie brought this up when we were watching it. It looks like they used the same tree in a scene from Fury Road.
There's a fair few trees like that out there.
Alright, fine. God damn it.
You know, if that tree was still there, I'm impressed. But the whole, like, fog and weird lights, and now I wrote it down as drunk monkey sounds. What the fuck was going on?
No idea, man. Yeah.
What are they? Are the ruse on crack? What is going on? Oh, that whole thing. And then I know I've skipped ahead and we'll come back. But the whole thing is, oh, look, I'm cold and I'm alone. What'll I do? I know. I'll snuggle up to this, like, half gutted kangaroo. That'll make it all better.
Isn't that bad luck? Isn't it bad luck to fall asleep on a kangaroo that you yourself have beheaded?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's a rule somewhere that says, you know, don't wear white after Labor Day, don't go to sleep on a half-gutted kangaroo.
Yeah, that's got to be a thing, seriously. But yeah, that whole sequence is just really fucking surreal and dreamlike, and you're almost like, the fuck did this guy, what did they slip in his drink before they left him out there? Because it's so trippy.
They were drinking Bundy rum, which is pretty much the staple of your northerner, and it's fucking good rum too. But yeah, I've drunk that stuff, and I've never had that level of hallucination.
Because when he's, they leave him behind, and he's obviously just tripping balls. He's drunk off his ass, and these horse skeletons keep popping up, like, out of the sand, and I'm like, is this the horse with no name from that song?
Oh, is it?
Did it feel good to get out of the rain? Really? Cause...
Well, you can see that obviously it had to get out of the rain because it had messed up its hair. It was wearing a lovely black wig, and it needed to get out of the rain.
And that's the wig that fucking... I can't remember her name. Oh, God. Judy Morris, she should have been wearing that wig instead of the horse.
It'd have been of an improvement. Right. I'll tell you that.
Sure. Anyway, sure.
That whole thing was just was music video all over. It was just insane.
And Carl goes through all this weird shit. They take him roo hunting. He shoots a kangaroo. He doesn't do it right. He kills the kangaroo. Benny and Dicko are all pissed. Carl pukes on their heads. So they're like, okay, we're leaving you behind because obviously you don't know how to play well with others. So he wanders across the outback until he gets to a farm. And at this farm, there are a lot of pigs around a pig watering hole. And he climbs a windmill and lashes himself to it and sleeps up there during the night. Now, my question about this whole thing is, you had a car.
Yes.
Why didn't you fucking leave?
Yeah, but he had shoes, too, and he fucking lost them.
Yeah. How the hell did he lose his shoes?
He's wrapping his feet in, like, cloth and...
See, I told you he had bandages, Cootie!
What?
It's just that whole bit... And who says, you know what, I'm lost, I'm alone... here's a giant structure that's rusted to shit. I'll climb it and strap myself to it. That'll keep me safe. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Not really sound logic.
And these pigs, I guess, are just fucking carnivorous because they knock the thing over and knock him into, you know, the watering hole. And he's like, ha ha ha, ha ha, pigs can't swim. Can you verify that?
Pigs can't swim?
Yeah.
No, the same way that cows can't swim.
You know what? That never occurred to me. The pigs could not swim.
Well, think about it. They've got trotters, so not exactly, you know, designed for treading water at the best of time.
All right, fair enough. I just never really put any, you know, brain power behind that particular theory. But dogs can look up.
Yes, dogs can look up. That
Big
is correct.
Big Al says so.
Yeah, and cats are actually psychic.
I believe that.
Yeah.
And ferrets are fucking annoying because mine's being a bitch right now. Stop it.
Speaking of weasels.
Right. So anyway, he spends a good, what, 12, 14 hours in the watering hole?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it went from light to dark and light again. So, you know, it had to be a reasonable... And did you notice that time obviously operates quite differently? Quite differently.
Yes!
I thought about that too. I was like, Jesus.
I'm just thinking, no, that was day. No, it's now it's nighttime. Now there's a giant red moon, and now it's daytime again. And, yeah, but he spends like 14 hours there, falls in the water, says, ha ha, pigs can't swim, but then finds out the dead pigs can float.
Well, I think the big red moon, that was the new moon on Monday. Well, no, it couldn't. That was a full moon on Monday. Excuse me. I got to get my lunar phases right. Yeah.
Yes. Don't be so reckless.
Okay, so anyway, why would you not get out of the water right away? These are kind of domesticated pigs. They're not going to assault him and slit his throat and eat him. Pigs only eat dead things.
They're not domesticated pigs. They are not domesticated pigs.
So would they?
Yeah, I didn't get that impression either.
Okay, so would they? But they're tagged.
Yeah, they're not domesticated. They've just been tagged. They got cutting ahead a little bit. They get tagged by Sarah for tracking purposes, but they're not domesticated.
Well, okay. I guess I just don't understand what kind of pig would attack a living human being, knock him down, and eat him.
Well, a gigantic one.
Well, besides the Razorback. These are obviously smaller... Okay. I don't know. I don't know anything about pigs. I think we've made that clear.
Wild pigs are like bastards. They are complete and utter bastards. They knock
extremely
down
aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, extremely aggressive. They knock down fences. They'll have a go at a car while it's moving. They fucking hate everything. And will pretty much try and eat almost anything.
Wild pigs always shine.
Hey. Well, you know, they are all... You could almost say they're big pigs.
They are big pigs. All right. So, God damn it. I'm not going to make it to the end of this episode. I'm laughing too much. The pigs are on a farm owned by this woman named Sarah Cameron, who is played by Arkie Whiteley, who was the gyro captain's girlfriend in Mad Max 2, and obviously this is where he dropped her off.
Yes.
And she just built a fucking house.
Yep. There you go.
There you go.
She,
well done. I'm so glad you saw that.
She was beautiful, and she... her name was Arkie Whiteley, and she tragically died at the age of 37 of adrenal cancer. And
oh, wow.
She was one of my first crushes, man. When I saw Road Warrior and saw her, between her and the Warrior Woman, the Road Warrior kind of changed my life. So,
well, look, I think it changed all of our lives. It made me fully aware why I shouldn't go to the Outback, why it's important I always have a spare tank of gas in the car. And
a one-eyed dog.
Yeah, and my life goal was to become Lord Humongous.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Better than Toadie.
Yes.
Lose your fingers. Anyway, Sarah is a friend of Jake's, and she is a pig tracker. She has a government grant to track the local pig population. And she's the only one who believes that Jake is telling the truth about the giant razorback, you know, dragging his grandson off. So, she tells him that there's something that's stressing out the local wild pigs. She, like, dissected one of them, and it had a stress ulcer. So that's, you know, not normal, and that causes, like, increased aggression. And they eat their own young, which I think pigs probably just do that anyway.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for it. Pigs can get stress ulcers, though. That's actually true.
I am learning so much. This is the most educational podcast I've ever been a part of, and I'm so.
But I want you to think about it for a minute. Imagine that you're a female of any species, and a creature that is five times your size is walking around going, "I think I'll mate with that." I'd be fucking stressed too.
Seriously, right?
He's like the Big Jim Slade of the pig kingdom.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Carl saw the Razorback while he was, you know, spending 14 hours with his junk in the water. And Jake finds out about this, and Jake's like, oh, I know where he's going. He's got to be heading back towards the watering hole because there's no water for 30 miles around this area. let me grab this gigantic fucking gun, and I'm going to go shoot that bastard and show everyone that I was right. But while he's out there, he's kind of digging around in pig shit because he does that.
He even mentioned that a couple of scenes earlier than this, talking about how he examines their droppings.
Mm.
Yeah.
He found a tooth in one, I remember him saying.
Yeah. You know, I love a lot of things. I love my wife dearly, but I don't go poking through her shit. So I have a real hard time.
She's own, I say. You know, some people do jigsaw puzzles, some people dig through other people's shit.
It's a scatological preference. We'll just leave it that way. So anyway, Jake is digging around in pig shit, and what does he find but Carl's wife's wedding ring?
Mm.
No, it was an anniversary ring. I gave it to her in the very beginning before she left to go.
Because it was their first anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But
the ring that he gave her, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Either way, Razorback ate her. And shat her out.
Proof.
Yeah, there you go. Now, when her husband sees the ring, Jake's like, here's the ring. I found this in a big pile of pig shit. Sorry that a gigantic mutant boar snuffled down your wife. He doesn't really grieve. He just kind of stares at it like, I wonder if I can still get my money back for this, even though it's been in a gigantic stack of feces.
See, and I was thinking, I thought he was looking at it going, I wonder if Jake cleaned this.
It did look awfully clean. Like, you wouldn't think he dug that out of a pile of shit.
See? This is part of me going, did he just, like, put it in his pocket and go, oh, by the way, I found this in a pile of shit? Or did he actually go to the trouble of washing it off? I mean, that'd be the courteous thing to do, but Jake doesn't strike me as someone who's big on, like, you know, courtesies.
Maybe he just, like, spit on it and rubbed it on his trousers.
Well, I've done that.
Yeah. Least you can do.
Okay.
No, he doesn't grieve. I think he's moved on. He's just like, ah, it's all right.
Well, he obviously has, because he's macking on the blonde chick back at the ranch.
He's like, I'm looking at this chick with those clear blue eyes, and I'm thinking we can go off to the Greenland and everything will be fine. Anyway, Sarah's talking to the people down at the pub, which I reckon is about 40, 45 miles away over the CB.
So Sarah tells the guys at the pub that she wants to know where the local policeman is, and that she believes this is what's happened and that he needs to come out and check it out, because Jake's now gone out to the watering hole and he knows what happens to her wife. And so at that point, Benny and Dico, who are at the pub because, well, they're either killing Maroos or at the pub, go, oh, fuck, I better then sort out something. So then they get wise to it, and they decide that the best thing they can do is go and see old Jake down at the watering hole and pay him a bit of a service.
Right. Oh, shit. And before we get to that, Witch, please explain to our audience, who is Don Lane?
So... Don Lane was, for many of us during our forming years, our real introduction to an American.
Don Lane. Oh, no!
Yes. Don came into our homes on a nightly or weekly basis and did almost like, I suppose, like he was our Johnny Carson to a certain degree.
Right on.
So Don would come into our homes and he would, you know, they would have the Don Lane dances. And,
God.
And he had his sidekick, Bert Newton, who is an Australian icon and legend, Bertie Bert. And, so he was a staple. He was an absolute staple of television at that point in time. Families would stop whatever they're doing to watch Don on telly.
For my own reference, compare him to, say, Barry Humphries.
So, Barry Humphries, talented actor, Don Lane, talking head on the television.
Fair enough. That's all I needed to hear. Okay.
You're asking the difference between Johnny Carson and Robert De Niro.
Damn. Okay. See, and again, this is a cultural thing, because we only know Barry Humphries as Dame Edna, and... I think there are only very few people who understand who he is and what he did. Okay, cool. Because it's kind of a weird... It's not really a subplot, but... this poor schmuck. This poor fat schmuck drinking piss beer has some animals skinned out in his shed, and the Razorback, of course, is snuffling around and grabs one. So he's like, well, I'll catch you, you son of a bitch. And he sets up this kind of metal net... and ties it to his truck, and ties it to his home, and he's like, I'm going to catch whatever is trying to get my slaughter. And the Razorback gets caught in the net and just runs, and it pulls literally half of this guy's house off to the point where you can see the TV is still on as it goes rushing into the distance, and Don Lane just gets further and further.
There was part of me going, that's awesome, and then another part of me going, how is the power still on?
That's what I was thinking!
how is that working? Because it's obviously a magic television. And he's just sitting there going, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to react. I mean, admittedly, he's drinking Foster's, and he gets everything he deserves for doing that.
Right?
No one drinks that shit.
No one.
yeah, there was an ad campaign over here for a long time where it was like Foster's Australian for beer, and I was always thinking Foster's Australian for piss.
Yes, it's Foster's Australian for fuck off. We don't want to drink it.
We just like the big cans. That's all there is to it.
look, if all beer came in cans outside and, you know, were actually giant thick cans that you could do injury with, awesome. But yeah, it's only made for the export market. No Australian in their right mind actually drinks that shit.
I knew it! I had a feeling. That's awesome. Okay, sorry about that Don Lane diversion, but just him on the TV just moving into the distance just cracked me up.
I know, I'm just there going, oh my god, Don, no!
Okay.
That poor guy just sitting there going, oh, my house.
This is one of the more entertaining scenes in the movie, in my opinion. It was pretty fun.
So Benny and Dicko now realize that Jake knows what happened to Poodlehead Beth Winters, and they have a good idea of where he is, so they go out to fuck him up because they're afraid that he's going to tell the police that they had something to do with her death. So they go out to the camp, and while he's asleep, is he asleep or do they like do something else to him? Because they break his legs. They fuck him up bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he was asleep. Because Dicko goes in and basically he fires off a couple of shots to wake him up and says, what is it? So much as a fart and you're nothing but hamburger.
Yeah.
My God, it is the South. It is the American South.
Yeah. And then they drag him off and break his legs. And that whole scene, I'm there going, it made me think of Children of the Corn, only because of that iconic, like, tool in the air against the wind, against the moon, just ready to strike down. It was very horror movie.
Such a great shot. Such a great shot. All right, so...
But then they break his legs.
They break his legs, and they leave him for the Razorback to eat. Which he does, which is a really weird scene too. He's got a dog, or maybe it's a dingo. I think it's a dingo.
It's a dog. It's a collie.
Is it a? It's not a collie. It's black.
It's a fucking collie. It's a sheepdog. No, it's not even a fucking sheepdog. And you know what? It's just some. It's a dog. I mean,
it's a dog.
It's a collie.
All right. It's some dog.
He has that. He has a bluey. And he has, I think it was a mastiff.
Okay. Well, this particular four-legged creature, this is our this is our Skippy moment of the movie because he looks at the dog and he says, "Go get Sarah! Go get Sarah!" And the dog's name is Spider.
Yep.
I don't understand naming animals after other animals.
Yeah. Spiders are not animals.
Oh God! Here we go.
They're
arachnids. Fine.
Spiders are up there with Chuka. Everybody knows at least one person called Chuka, or knows somebody who knows somebody called Chuka.
What's a Chuka?
I love how I speak funny.
Sorry.
Chicken. Chook. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Chicken, okay.
Chook. Chuka. So, okay. Like Dicko. But Chuka.
All right, then.
Right, so we literally, you could ask anyone in Australia whether they know a Chuka, and if they don't, they know someone who knows someone who knows a Chuka.
It's kind of like Bubba down here.
Yes.
Everybody knows Chuka's a Bubba.
Everyone knows a Chuka. Chuka is a real bogan redneck name.
Yeah, all right.
Spider,
I gotcha.
Spider, absolutely. Spider's one of those names, too.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I think that's great. Spider runs off to get Sarah. He does what he's told. Spider is a good dog, even though, you know, if you're going to be called Spider, you should really have four more legs. But
yeah, and six more eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
So Spider, while running off to get Sarah, and you know, tell her that you know Jake's fallen down the well, essentially. He's been gored and eaten inside of a Quonset hut with a terrible swinging door. Benny and Dicko run the dog over.
Yes.
For no fucking reason. Now, there's not much of a sense of humor in this movie, unless you think that's funny. I kind of thought that was funny.
Well, it's when Benny says, "What did you do it?" And Dicko just goes, "I felt like it."
Right? It's so dismissive.
Yeah, I felt like it.
It's a fucking dog. I don't care.
Yeah. See, if he'd gone back and then scun it and then put it on the truck for Pepperd, I would have gone, that might have been pushing it. That really would have gone, yeah, there's something seriously wrong with that bloke.
So anyway, Sarah sees Spider dead on the side of the road, and that's when she's like, hey, something's wrong here. Meanwhile, she's left Carl on the side of the road waiting for the bus that comes once a week, and I guess is like, what, 2 days away at this point?
Yeah, there was no conversation about when the bus is due. Just, I'm going to take you to the bus stop and fucking leave you there.
That's right. Bye.
Good luck.
You're not going to fuck me. You're going to stay here at the bus stop. That's it. Anyway, she goes squealing back, picks him up. She's like, come with me, come with me. And, you know, I guess that's what she wanted the whole time. So they go and they find Jake, and of course, you know, screaming at the heavens, you know. So Carl, the dumb shit, realizes that Benny and Dicko are pretty much behind everything. They knew about his wife. They essentially left Jake to die. So all of a sudden, Wimpy Boy gets a wild hair up his ass and decides to go after Benny and Dicko. And he takes a truck, and he runs the truck into the pet food factory while Benny's taking a shit. Runs it right into the bathroom.
No, that was Benny's house. That was the house.
Was that their house?
That was their own.
Yeah.
That was the underground house. That was the shed on top of the hole in the ground where they live.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they live in the biggest prairie dog park in the world? why do they live in Meerkat Manor?
So Broken Hill is a mining town. It's full of like mine shafts and all that sort of shit, where they literally just run a hole straight down in the ground, dig all the dirt around it, dig whatever it out, and then move on and do it again and again and again and again and again. And they happen to just live in like a big hole in the ground beside all the little holes in the ground.
Okay. What? I didn't. These are legitimate questions for me, damn it!
I'm not laughing at you. It's just the thought of living in like fucking mine shafts and building this facade on the front end of one is just ridiculous. Like, how punk can you get?
How do you decide which mine shaft is the shitter?
Yeah.
I reckon it's whichever one's just there. Whichever one's the closest.
The deepest.
The biggest, deepest hole, and just goes down. We're not working there today. Just drop it in. It'll be fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay, so now there's this great chase across the kind of littered with mine shafts terrain, and
it's like the surface of the moon, isn't it?
It really is.
Fucking craters every 10 feet.
Yes.
So Benny tries to hide down a mine shaft because he's not real bright, and he's hanging on to the cable, and you know, pissed off Carl just keeps lowering him down and throwing sand in his face and interrogating him, and you know, Benny's like, I didn't do anything. Well, maybe I did part of it. Okay, I pretty much know everything, but don't kill me.
Yeah.
But Dicko.
Dicko did it.
Yeah, I saw him do it. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, but you saw him do it, but you weren't there? I'm going to throw more dust in your face and lower you down another 4 inches into this mine shaft. So all this culminates in the great climax at Pet Pack, the worst factory in the world. Oh, yeah, meanwhile...
Most unhygienic slaughterhouse in creation.
Right. Meanwhile, Sarah is in town rounding up these hunters to come and kill the Razorback for her because she knows where it is. She's tracked it or something. And they all come rushing out to fucking Broken Hill. And she's like, here it is, it's over this ridge. And it's like this little tiny pig. And they're...
Yes.
Yeah.
With their magical tracking computer. with the plastic overlay.
Yeah, the cellophane overlay. Like what you used to use to like draw mustaches on people on the television set. Put the plastic over it. Don't draw on the actual screen. So I like how she's like, no, 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 this isn't the right pig. And they're all like, back to the pub, boys.
Yeah, bro. That's it.
Fuck it.
I've done a day's work.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
All right, so now is when it gets a little bit kind of muddy for me, but...
Just now?
Really?
Yeah.
Until now, it's been perfect.
So Carl is chasing Dicko through the factory. I like the fact that Dicko was the last guy left just because his name is Dicko.
Yeah.
Because Dicko's a great name. I always think of Nickel McBrain when I think of Dicko.
Sure, why not?
So there's all this, we're running on catwalks, there's sparks flying everywhere, flames for no reason, a big double-bladed fan in the floor.
The underlit double-bladed fan, underlit. Because I looked at that and went, really? Who the fuck goes, actually, you know, we're going to sluice all the meat down here into these big spinning blades. What that needs is a massive red light underneath it. Just to make sure no one falls in.
Because that's safe.
The red light means danger. So, yeah, big fight. And then there's Sarah shows up. And so does the Razorback. Everybody shows up at the factory at the same time. So the Razorback...
Yeah, the Razorback comes in through the window.
Yes.
The window's on the first floor.
This is a big pig. This is a very big pig we're talking about.
Sure.
Okay, and then there's something to do with a truck that doesn't start for the bad guy, doesn't start for Dicko, but starts immediately when Carl gets behind the wheel. So I don't know if it's like some kind of... You know, like you have the... ignitions that won't start if you've been drinking and you have to breathe into it. This one like has a moral sensor, like it realizes realizes Dicko has killed people and therefore will not start, but Carl apparently is fine with that whole mineshaft thing. And then there's this weird part where the Razorback, well, Carl, not Carl, Dicko gets out of the factory, and the Razorback chases it, and I don't know where the Razorback is chasing him.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's in a maze.
He's in a maze on the moon, because it just looks like dust and craters, and we can hear him screaming, and we can hear the Razorback kind of, you know, thrusting and grunting, but I have no... I have no idea where they actually are. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, my mind filled in gaps and said, "Oh, look, that's where they dump all the bones and offal." I mean, that's got to be what it is. It's a big hole in the ground because they're not about, you know, being sanitary, and they just fucking chuck all that shit in there. But then there were no bones or anything. There was just this gigantic tunnel thing that the pig got in. How did it get out? If Dicko couldn't get out, how does the pig get out?
Force.
It's magic.
Just sheer force. Sheer force of will. It's the mystical Razorback.
It danced along the rainbow bridge and went up.
Oh. Yeah.
Fucking Gandalf the boar.
Spent some time out on Myers Rock with the Aboriginal people and learned a lot of things.
We don't call it that anymore, by the way.
What do you... Okay, then...
Now it's Uluru.
Okay. Uluru? So that's the original first people's name. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not us dirty white fellas' name.
Okay. I just... You know, these are things that we don't know over here, so that's awesome. I will now refer to it as Uluru every time I watch The Last Wave.
There you go.
Which is... my favorite Australian film. Anyway, the Razorback gets back into the factory after apparently eating Dicko, or after swallowing some Dicko, the Razorback goes back into the factory, fucks up some of the machinery, damages the generator, so all the machines go they go all wacky like a 1930s industrial film, like a Charlie Chaplin movie. The conveyor belts.
Animated lightning.
Yes. The animated lightning is great. The conveyor belts speed up. And so the way that they kill the fucking boar is Carl kind of uses himself as bait and makes the boar run at him right into that double-bladed fan that we were talking about.
Mm. Backwards into the double-bladed fan.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to think this pet food company's not up to code.
Yeah, look, there's a lot to be said about that pet food company in terms of hygiene, process.
It's probably why it's out in the middle of fuck all nowhere in the outback.
All right.
Sure. And look, the saddest part of that whole thing is kangaroo meat's actually bad for dogs.
Are you serious?
Yes. It makes them fat. So kangaroo meat is like incredibly high in protein, and if you feed it, like, if you feed it to a dog on like a regular basis, they actually become obese.
Wow,
that's hilarious.
The more you know.
The whole time I'm going, that's not right. That's not good for your dog.
They're just selling it to Americans to feed to their dogs.
To feed to their dogs, but it's a terrible waste because kangaroo meat is really, really delicious.
Is it? I've never had kangaroo meat. Have you, Cootie?
Yeah. Well, see,
not a lot of that about here. No.
Well, but sometimes you get like weird exotic jerky.
Yeah. We're not a jerky nation.
By God, we are.
For the record, I hate jerky.
Yeah, I'm aware of it, and I've eaten it, and it's okay. But we're not really, as a general rule, a jerky nation. Probably because it's so fucking hot, we don't actually want to have to eat something that's going to suck the moisture out of us.
That's smart.
So as if there weren't enough confusing things about this movie as far as time span and terrain and where we actually are, here's the big question. There's like one final fuck you at the end, because when Carl is leaving the factory with, you know, the Razorback's dead, everything should be back to normal, all of a sudden, Sarah falls down from the fucking ceiling of this place, and she's wrapped up in chains, and she's upside down. When the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, I put it down to the fact that I thought Sarah was going to do a Spider-Man and fall from the ceiling.
And just kiss him.
Just got caught. Just didn't happen.
Didn't quite get there.
Didn't quite get there at all, you know. She had hoped to be Tobey Maguire and really just become a meat sack.
A meat sack.
That sounds right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but you left out the bit where, you know, like the whole factory's going to explode and it's all terrible and we don't know what's going to happen. And Carl does the one good thing that was actually smart in that movie, goes over and he gives it a belt with a bit of 2x4 and goes, that'll fix it, and everything's okay.
Fonzie style. Just wax the shit out of the side of it, and everything's okay.
I've had cars like that. Just stick a flathead screwdriver down there between those two electrical parts. It'll start.
Yeah, it'll start.
Yeah.
Now the gear shift is supposed to be a spanner. It's all
right. Right on.
No, I need these 7 toggle switches on my dashboard to make the thing run.
That's exactly. They have to be open and closed in sequence, otherwise it won't start.
Speaking of Mad Max, Jesus, y'all.
Right.
See, this was actually, there were Mad Max 2 was actually shot around that area as well.
Nice.
This does not surprise me. So, here, before we go to our break and then come back for our final thoughts about this, I did have a question, because New South Wales,
yes,
which is where this was filmed, like you said, Broken Hill, New South Wales.
Yes.
According to this movie, New South Wales looks like red mud, various animal entrails, barbed wire, and mutilations. Is this accurate?
So So that part of New South Wales is actually very close to the border of, say, sort of New South Wales and South Australia, leading up towards Queensland. So it's close towards the middle. It's not like proper middle. It's not like Alice Springs middle. But look, yes.
Okay. Okay. Because as we've learned, we tell the middle of Australia to fuck off.
Yeah, that's it. We all live around the edge. The middle can fuck off. I've been in the middle. I've lived in the middle. I've driven through the middle. It can fuck off.
The more you know.
Yeah, that's right. So, yes, it does look like that. The middle looks more like that. So, Mad Max 3 was shot in a place called Cooper Pedy, which is not far from there. It's another mining town. And they actually do live underground in Cooper Pedy.
Wow. Really?
It is so fucking hot during the day. The only way to live relatively easily is, yeah, they literally dig out houses underground, and then the whole place is just slag piles. Just slag piles and holes in the ground.
Wow.
That's awesome. So Mad Max and lots of stuff, they don't actually... There's not a lot of changes made, right? They don't actually go out and go, we've got to clear all this land for Mad Max. No, they just go, that property.
That looks right.
Yeah, that looks good. Can we use your backyard? Sweet Asbury. And in they go.
See, and that is literally, and I'm being very serious here, that is one thing that amazes me about we as the human race. We will fucking live anywhere.
Yep.
If there's a way to make a habitat for ourselves, we will do it. We will build houses in the side of a mountain. We will dig underground. You just can't get rid of us. We are tenacious. And I'm literally amazed at how humanity has survived throughout the years.
It is quite amazing, but there are parts of this country that no one will live or no one can live because the animals just want to fuck you up.
Giant razorbacks, apparently.
Giant razorbacks. And see, now you've just reminded me, Sarah, on her front porch, has a big swing chair, like the big egg-shaped swing chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which had a wallaby in it.
No, it was a wombat.
Was that a wombat?
It was a wombat. And I'm looking at it going, you're a fucking bitch, Sarah, because that wombat, A, couldn't get in, and there's no fucking way it can get out. They've got legs that are like, you know, 2 inches long. Right? They're built for burrowing. They're not fucking climbers. You're a bitch.
What a bitch.
The shot was for the American market because apparently we can't tell a wombat from a wallaby. I don't know animals. I don't know anything.
Like, you only see it for like half a second, but like, so I said, why the fuck has she got a wombat in that swing chair? What a bitch. It's just like, really? And they're nocturnal, right? They're nocturnal. she's got it awake in the middle of the day.
So it's a wombat on caffeine.
That's right. It's a crack addict wombat.
Okay, another... Okay. I'm going to go ahead and take a break because I have other questions to ask that are only tangentially related to this film.
Sure. Okay.
Let's do that.
That sounds good. We're going to be back in a few guys for our final thoughts right after this break. I'm Cootie.
My name is X.
And I'm Chef Al, and we're your hosts on the Kiss the Goat podcast.
On our show, we're going to break down some of your favorite devil movies from the past 50 years.
We also drink and talk about religion.
Which is a terrible idea.
That is a great idea.
And I'm going to give you some great recipe ideas to go along with the movies that we've been watching.
We also answer questions from our listeners on every single episode.
And I also, frankly, discuss my sex life at really inappropriate times.
She does!
I do! It's a thing!
I tell terrible jokes and sing when I'm drunk.
And I haven't been paid yet. They said they would pay me, and they,
Kiss the Goat! Exclusively on the Legion Network of Podcasts.
Seriously, can I get some money?
Just do the job, Al. Welcome back, guys. This is the food chain. Let's put this boar to bed. Has anybody got any final thoughts on Razorback you want to share?
I have a question for Witch, because when we were talking about this before recording, this is one of those movies, apparently, that if you're Australian, you have a copy of this, and it's, like, mandatory. It's kind of like being an American, and you have to have, like, a copy of The Matrix or an old Lynyrd Skynyrd album. But from my research, this was not critically well received. So is this one of those movies in Australia that's kind of like taken root in the heart of pop culture? Is this like a something that people refer to all the time, or is this more of a cult thing?
No, it's really when you think about Razorback is Australia's Jaws, right? So.
Really?
That's the easiest way to describe
it. That makes sense.
Razorback is essentially Australia's Jaws. And that's part of the reason why it probably resonates, particularly with my generation, because, you know, this is, you know, released during our teenage years, and we all know, you know, your teenage years are how you form and all that sort of crap. So critically, it absolutely got panned because it was, this is the end of the Ozploitation, really, cycle, and it was the first real horror movie version that they spent serious money on. So I think the budget was, like, for the time, $5.5 million.
Wow.
Which, you know, you're talking obviously, you know, 30 plus years ago now. And you know, they spent, I think, $250,000 on the boar, like the boar itself. So,
because it was an animatronic boar. Nowadays, you would get some shitty CGI wild boar, but that boar has a terrifying snout.
Yeah, it's just this big, you know, killer monster thing that, you know, which is why, you know, it resonates. I mean, this Mad Max, depending on how you spun Gallipoli, you know, with a three that you really, if you're an Australian, you've seen it, you know it. You either love it or hate it. And so Jake Cullen, Bill Kerr, he was in Gallipoli. Like, he was actually in the movie Gallipoli.
Oh,
and
shit!
We got in. Yes. So,
sorry.
So, oh, my God.
I'm a big Peter Weir fan. I did not realize he was in Gallipoli. Okay.
Yes. So Bill Kerr was in Gallipoli. And the funniest bit is, when he got his legs broken, I'm there going, what are your legs? Steel spring.
Oh my God, that's funny. Oh shit.
Because that's all I could think of. So, you know, listen, Razorback, Mad Max, Gallipoli are all, you know, real icons of that particular period. So, you know, if you asked a millennial, they probably wouldn't know. They'd know Mad Max because obviously there's a recent movie. But for 80s and 90s, you know, slasher kids, Razorback is there. That's our movie. That's the one that we know. That was an Australian movie that kicked ass and it had a big monster. And the thing is, pigs are fucking scary.
Pigs are fucking scary. You're talking to a woman who won't eat pork.
No. Oh, wow.
No, I don't eat pork.
And it's not not a religious thing. She just thinks they're gross.
Yeah, so I can understand. Like domesticated pigs, I'm 100% cool with. They will eat anything. And if you've ever seen Snatch, that's true.
Yes, I have seen that.
Oh, the movie! The movie.
We've all seen plenty of Snatch, let's be honest. But Snatch, the movie, with Bricktop and his pigs. Pigs will eat anything. But, like, boars, so wild pigs, they're fuckers. They'll knock down fences, they'll kill dogs, they'll go through everything. And when I lived up north, I actually went... pig hunting with an archery group up there, and killing pigs with a bow is fucking hard work because they don't stop. They do not stop until there's literally like a hole all the way through them and they've lost a leg, which is why, like I said, you've got to have a big dog. You've got to have a big dog and you make sure it's got a harness and it's guarded up because wild pigs are fucking nasty.
Note to self.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. But on the plus side, boar meat is awesome. It's like buffalo.
Is it not just like salty as hell, like a regular pig?
No. It's really, it's got a really strong, it's fucking, I want to say like, almost like red wine, but a really like really powerful taste to it. Chock full of protein and everything else. Like boar sausages, awesome. On the barbie, fucking great.
Wow.
We will eat like literally anything. If we can kill it, we'll eat it.
Again, that sounds like the South.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking squirrel, possum, raccoon, it doesn't matter. You can shoot it, you can eat it.
Possums are too small. There's not enough on them. You get a good shot, but all you got left is fur. It's just...
not around here, son. You should see some of the possums around here.
You should see some of the Tennessee possums.
Holy God.
I've seen pictures of, like, you know, like, opossums and all that shit. They're fucking angry things. I mean, like, possums in general are fucking angry things. I think the only iconic animal that I can think of that we don't eat is koala.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could bring myself to eat a koala. It'd be about, like, eating a cat here. Like, they're so cute.
They eat all that eucalyptus, which is kind of minty, so the meat would already... It'd be like lamb. It'd be like lamb with a mint jelly already infused into the meat.
No, you're wrong.
Yeah, but the thing again, they're fucking angry animals.
Koalas are. Yeah.
So everyone has the picture of the cute koala asleep in the tree, and it's it's so cute and it's fluffy. You try to wake one of those fuckers up, all right? They will mess you up. They got claws that are like Freddy Krueger, and they will mess you up.
It's like me on a Saturday. Don't fuck with me.
Yeah, that's it. Right, so think about that. Like eucalyptus is. Like, it's basically, like, alcohol and a hallucinogen all built into one. So you think about that being your steady diet, and then, like, being asleep, and some prick coming to wake you up, you're going to mess them up. And that's koalas, seriously, angry fucking things. Angry, angry little creatures.
Now, we put eucalyptus in cough drops over here, and I've never had that kind of... I guess I didn't eat enough. I should eat more cough drops.
You should eat more cough drops. I mean... Koala, but they don't eat anything else, right? They don't drink. Koala is actually Aboriginal for no drink. They get everything they need from eucalyptus. So you think about a steady diet of even, you know what? A steady diet of hash cookies, you're fucked. You are well truly just begged to shit.
That's it. The koala is my spirit animal. That cinches it. Yeah.
So much more. Emu was quite good. That's pretty cool. Crocodile's nice. It's a bit like barramundi. What else? Snake? Yeah, snake. It's all right. Goanna? Yeah, pretty much like snake.
I've always wanted to try goanna just because they are scary-looking bastards.
Yeah, well, again, like, big fucking claws on them. And, you know, they're heavy. Like, they're a big, heavy, heavy lizard, and they're, you know, predominantly carnivores. So they will have your finger off. Like we've got a northern blue tongue that's my daughter's pet. He's about 70 centimeters, weighs about kilo and a half. He'll take your finger off.
Yeesh.
He will literally take your finger. Oh, he's a beautiful animal. He's, you know, very friendly, and he sits on your lap and watches telly. But if you fuck him off, he will have your finger.
Boy, Ben.
So getting back to, I can't remember what we were talking about. It was about eating pigs and stuff. There you go. That's right. Rain about what we eat, which is fucking everything.
Well, I just have one more thing to say about this movie, and I really do try to keep up with world cinema, world music, stuff like that, but... there's just not a lot of Australian content over here. The last thing that from Australia that really hit home with us was Wolf Creek.
Yes.
You know, and that was cool. I haven't seen the TV series yet, but I've seen both films. So when I think about my favorite Australian films, they're all really old, which is kind of sad because I love The Last Wave is my favorite Australian film. I saw that movie in the theater in 1977, and it fucked me up for years. So I love that movie. But I also love Mad Max to Mad Max 2. I love Breaker Morant. So, right?
Wow.
So, yeah. I kind of half-assed know what I'm talking about, and Razorback is in my top five Australian films. I really enjoyed this movie, even when it goes off into fucking nonsense, which it does, and it does a lot.
Yeah.
I still really, really enjoyed this movie, and I really think it's because of the way that even when you're dealing with kind of that B-grade kind of exploitation film that this is, Russell Mulcahy really put some artistic bent into this. Like you said, the shot with the axe hammer across the moon, you know, like Batman, and the whole weird thing in the desert. He's like, you know what? I made that Rio video. I bet I could do that again with horse skeletons. All right, bro. You know, do what you're going to do. That's cool. So there's a really nice artistic touch to this film that I appreciate. So I thank you for sharing your knowledge of this film with us. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you being our special animal consultant on this episode. So please, I would like you to take a moment and tell our listeners about your shows and where they can be found. Because I know you're everywhere at this point.
Well, look, I've said many times that I am a Z-list celebrity handbag. I will turn up anywhere for a free lunch. even just someone showing me their lunch, I'll turn up. I'll be there. Currently, I am working on the first episode of Obsessive Cinema Discourse with Court Psyops and Boz from The Little Pot of Horrors. This is our monthly show that we come together and talk about the stuff that we don't normally get to talk about and break it down into that just crazy level of detail that we seem to be all across. On a weekly basis, I do Witch versus the Doomsday Clock, which is my 15-minute break cast about a man trapped in the junk heap of the future, searching for entertainment and a way to survive. It is 15 minutes. You can fit it in anywhere, taking a smoke, taking a dump, having your sandwich, or even on the bus. It doesn't matter. So I enjoy telling a very, very quick story. It is just me, but I like to think it's a good bit of fun. And, of course, I'm on awesome podcasts like this. And anyone else that's willing to have me, I work cheap. Trust me.
Good deal. Well, you can find X, Chef Al, and myself on our companion show, which is Kiss the Goat. It's all about satanic cinema from the last 50, you know, some odd years, I guess. If you love devil movies and fine dining, you're going to love Kiss the Goat.
If you want to learn more about my other job, which is writing scary stories for grown-ups, please visit elderskeep.com to find out more about me than you probably really ever want to know.
And if you like what you're hearing on this show, please leave us a review on iTunes. You know, we know it's a pain in the ass, but come on, please, for us.
And that's going to do it for this episode. On behalf of the Witch and Cootie, my name is X. We will see you next time at the bottom of the food chain.